We just finished three chapters, 9, 10, 11, discussing Israel, how God is not finished with them yet. The first eight chapters, we learned that we are justified. All of us are sinners, even me, even you, but we are justified by grace through faith. That God has done the entire work, that it is all finished. Now we just enter into that by grace through faith. Because of all that you've read now, we begin chapter 12 this way. I beseech you therefore. And when you see therefore, you look and see what it's there for. And it's there to show you that everything that has come before it now, all 11 chapters, because of what you have just read in this letter that Paul has written to the Romans, because of what you know now, and I'm sure you remember every bit of it, because of that, he says, I beg you. Now, Paul is an apostle. He could have commanded. He could have said, this is the commandment that you do this. Instead, he begs you. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brothers, family, Christians, this is to the Christian only, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I beg you, brothers, because of all that you know, because you see what God has done, you see what God is doing, you're learning what he's all about, you have been freely given life. So I beg you, therefore, by the mercies of God, look back and think about all that God has done for you. Stop complaining about what a lousy hand you've been dealt and start thanking him for what he has done. I mean, remember Eeyore and Winnie the Pooh, House at Pooh Corner? I didn't read that till I was 21. Couldn't understand it till then. I mean, that's not the way you ought to be. If it rains today, if it rains gold on everybody, it's going to rain pea soup on me. If it rains today, I'm the only one that's going to get wet. That's Eeyore. And I mean, he had a problem. He wasn't happy with anything. Didn't matter what it is. He just wasn't happy with it. Hey, is about every other thing that comes out of your mouth negative about everybody around you? Boy, look at her. Oh, nice shoes. I had shoes like that before my dad got a job. Hey, where'd you get that hairdo? Is there something wrong inside there? He says, think about the mercies of God. What about God's mercies? Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Of all the diseases that are going around, of all the things that you and I could have, you say, well, I got a few of them. Yeah, but you don't have all of them. Of all those things, look at the mercy he has shown to you. Any of you fly lately? It's like, strap me to this bullet and shoot me home. You know, I know you're going to be, if you're headed toward the ground at a 70 degree angle at 750 miles an hour, I know you're going to be glad you got your seatbelt on. You want to get everything you paid for, right? Isn't that what he says? Yet he brought you back safely or took you down safely. And why? It's not because of the mechanical genius of the people working on those things. People are people. Can you imagine getting up and being in a bad mood, you and your wife having a fight? You hate everything, hate everybody. So does your whole family, and you're the pilot. You know, and you say, I don't have much faith. Oh, yes, you do. Each time you step on a plane, you got a lot of faith. Because you don't know where those pilots and co-pilots have been, what they've been doing, what they're all about. You say, just take my life. Take me somewhere. Faster than the speed of sound. And you pay them to do it. We'll talk about wisdom when we get to Proverbs. You think about the mercies of God, or you say, I don't eat very well. Yeah, I say the same thing. You know, we don't always eat what we should. But the Bible says, He satisfies your mouth with good things. So there. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Are you thankful to God? I beg you, this is a begging this morning directly to you and me. That He says, by the mercies of God. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 25. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassion does not fail. The word compassion also translated in our language as mercy. His compassions are, and His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, not my faithfulness. We should be looking to God and saying, your mercies, your compassions, they never fail. They are new every morning. When you got up this morning, there are probably people in this room or people in your life that say, man, you're stupid, you're a loser, and you're never going to change. We don't have anything to do with you. But you notice God doesn't take that approach. He says, all right, let's start brand new today. Let's start over. His mercies are brand new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. He is faithful. He never yet has gone back in His word and never yet. He never will. God is faithful to you. And He goes on and says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeks Him. The Lord is good if you're looking for somebody to help today. And you say, man, my life's a mess. God is good. Turn to God. So I beg you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, you think about all. You're still standing. Well, you're sitting upright, basically. And if you're sitting upright and you're able to take notes or hold a Bible or open it and even be able to see or even be able to feel it or whatever, listen, why don't we begin to thank God that He has been so merciful to us? What do we deserve? Well, nobody wants to talk about it. A 5-car accident with no survivors is what we deserve. We deserve suffering. We deserve punishment. We deserve shame. And I'm telling you, when I say we, that includes me. And it also includes you. You that are very good and read your Bible all the time. You that are very good and know that you're more holy than anybody else in the room. Even you deserve ugliness and shame and to be separated from God for all of eternity with no chance or hope of ever stopping the fire. That's what we deserve. But His mercies were brand new with us this morning. When you got up, everything's gone from any time before. Everything. So, man, maybe we ought to take a lesson from the one who really knows. People say, well, I can't forgive so and so. Oh, I'm not going to leave him. I'm a Christian. You left a long time ago, girl, guy. Your heart is all wrong. You're gone. You left. You have abandoned. That's anti-Christ. It is against the Word of God. Nuh-uh. Oh, yeah. You go read it for yourself. Read through 1 John real slowly. And does God take you and slap you around and then throw you into hell? No. He says, you got a chance today. Mercies are new every morning. Start over. Begin anew. Walk in newness of life. Walk in newness of the Spirit of God. I beg you, by the mercies that He has shown you, that you present your bodies. To present means to offer or to yield your bodies. And how should we offer them or yield them? a living sacrifice. Your bodies, by the way. He says, present your body, offer your body, yield your body. Romans 6:13, we read this already, says, do not yield, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Being thankful He has saved you and I, we should right now, don't worry about yesterday, don't worry about tomorrow, don't worry how it's been for the last 6 weeks or 6 months or 6 years or 6 decades, but right now, present your bodies, right now, as a living sacrifice, your body, your members. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. He has given you life freely from the dead. So, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Speaking of your bodies, before I talk about living sacrifice, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says this, what? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you? If you're born again, the Holy Ghost lives in you. That's God, the third person. God lives in you. He says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You don't belong to you. So this women's thing talking about abortion and rights to your own body, there's no such thing. No, not if you're born again. Your body doesn't belong to you. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which both belong to God. See, my spirit belongs to God. He saved me. And this tent that I am in, that God dwells in temporarily, and we're going to be together forever. We'll go to heaven. But you see, He's in this body as well, so we should glorify God in this body as well as in our spirits. So we offer these bodies a living sacrifice. A sacrifice. You go to the Old Testament, you can read about sacrifices. You would take whatever animal it was, and you would lay them on the altar, and you would kill them. They would be put to death. What he's saying is, lay yourself on the altar of God, but now he's given you life. Lay yourself there as a living sacrifice, not as a dead one. You see, all your life has to go onto the altar. Your goals, your dreams, your ideas, your activities, even your free time. All of your life. You say, well, my whole, I'm yielded to God completely, except for the tongue sometimes. If there is somebody in your life and all you can say about them is something negative or degrading, then your tongue, our tongues, my tongue, is not sacrificed, a living sacrifice to the Lord. And see, that's part of your body. If your hands or your feet or your eyes or your ears or any part of your body, whatever part you could think about, if it is not on the altar sacrificed to the Lord as a living sacrifice, it's not going to work. So here's the call this morning. I beg you, he says, because of the mercies of God, because of how God has dealt with you, and he has given you freely, by grace you have been saved. So by the mercies of God, you yield yourselves, you offer yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice. Holy, because God has said you are holy unto the Lord. And acceptable. Acceptable means well-pleasing to God. I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. The word in our language also would translate logical. It makes sense that you would give all of you to God because He has given you everything you are and everything you have. If your hands do work, you give them to the Lord because He is the one who has given them to you in the first place and allows them to function. Your feet, your eyes, all of your body, all of you. It's your reasonable. It's your logical. Also, the word carries the connotation because your body and your spirit is within this tent. It also carries the connotation of being a spiritual as well as physical. So see, it is your reasonable. It is your logical. It is your spiritual service. And the word service could also be translated worship. Anything done specifically for God is, according to God's word, is worshiping Him. Anything done for God is worship to Him. So if you give your life to the Lord for His glory, that is presenting your body to Him, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual worship to Him. When you give of your money, God gives you $100, you give Him one back. When you give, no matter what you give from your heart, that is literally worship to Him. You are worshiping Him with your tithe and your offering. You are worshiping Him with your gifts and your abilities and your talents. You are literally worshiping Him. So I beg you, brethren, therefore, because of what you've read in the first 11 chapters, He says that you, by the mercies of God, offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, your logical, your spiritual worship or service. And then He says, and don't... Oh, wait, let me read you this statement I've written down before I go to the next verse. To offer or yield your life completely to God for His use and for His service is worship that this verse says is well-pleasing to Him. Do you understand that? To offer your or yield your life completely to God for His use and for His service is worship that is well-pleasing to God. It's acceptable, we read. I think nothing else is acceptable. God gave us all. God saved you. He saved all of you. You will be there in heaven if you are born again. So now you give your all back to God, right? And that is acceptable. It is well-pleasing, the Bible says, to Him. You say, all I want to do is please God. Then I beg you, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your logical worship. All I have to do is look and see what He has done in my life. And it is reasonable, it is logical, and becomes even spiritual that I would turn myself over to Him and serve. A living, so you lay yourself on the altar, all of you. You know, when Constantine, around 315 AD, when he decided the whole world needed to be a Christian, it became a law. The whole world needed to be a Christian, or you'd be put to death. So everybody said, all right, I'm a Christian. They brought in all kinds of pagan practices into the Christian church. They didn't want to give them up. One of the things that they did that was very interesting is as they baptized the soldiers, they would dunk them in the water, but not their right arm and their sword. That stayed out of the water. Everything belongs to God except my fighting arm, and I fight for Constantine and the Roman government. You guys do that too? Get baptized, you took your wallet, held it out of the water, dunked everything but that. Took your favorite hobby, took your favorite pastime, whatever. What did you hold out of the water when you were laying yourself on the altar saying, I'm all yours? Well, except for my favorite shoes. Those aren't yours. Except for this area in my life. I'm going to obey you to the max, except right here. I'm holding this out. I'll put everything on the altar but this. And I don't care what you do or what you say. I'm telling you what. You're not going to be transformed. You say, man, I want to change in my life. You won't be transformed. I'll show you what I mean. Because he goes on to say this. Do not be conformed to this world. To be conformed means to be shaped or to be fashioned to the pattern of the world. Now, the Christian church has to admit it has been shaped and patterned after the world. See, you see, Christians always want to do what the world is doing. Do you notice that? And so they make movies, we try to make them. Ours always turn out to be lousier actors, lousy special effects. They're just grade B things, but, you know, we're doing it for the Lord. We're always right behind. Now, those of you who are trying to be conformed to the world, you know, you can't do it. You can't seem to keep up with the neighbors. And so every time you can afford to buy what they have, you get it, and it's out of style. It's out of date. And so a lot of times you look really weird. You know, we used to wear those in the 60s. Dude, what are you doing? I finally can get one. It's too late, man. We've already moved on. People aren't driving those things anymore. And then you're trying to keep up. You're trying to be shaped or fashioned to the world's patterns. And so Christians have caught on. Man, if I'm going to be conformed to the world, I better get a better job. I gotta have more stuff. I gotta buy more things. We get bigger bars. And you know, we're starting. You can't tell the difference anymore, hardly. We haven't given our bodies a living sacrifice. And so he says, I beg you to do that. Don't be conformed, shaped or fashioned to the world's pattern. Instead, he says, be transformed. The word in the Greek is metamorpho-o, which is where, from the Greek, we get our word metamorphosis. It means, literally, to change into another form or to transform. Or another word is transfigure. It means a total change from the inside out. No longer a caterpillar or butterfly. Totally different. Metamorphosis. You have been transformed. Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's the same word, metamorpho-o. It means he completely was different. He glowed. There he was in his glory. He was transfigured, transformed. We are to be transformed. How? By the renewing of our minds. In this room, we have a little unit. And in the unit, there are two things. And you are one of those two things right now. One of them is a thermometer. And you know what it does. A thermometer changes with its environment, doesn't it? A thermometer says, all right, it's 65 degrees. And then as the temperature rises up, the thermometer says, it's 67 now. Or if it starts to get colder, the thermometer says, oh my goodness, it's Idaho. And drops. So the thermometer changes with the pattern that's around it, doesn't it? And you're told, don't do that. Don't be conformed to the atmosphere, to the world's pattern. But there's another little unit in there, and it's called a thermostat. What does it do? It changes what's around it, doesn't it? The thermostat says, oh my goodness, it ought to be 70, and it's only 63. And the thermostat kicks in. The thermostat changes what's around it. We are either thermometers or we are either thermostats. That's what we are. We are either being conformed to this world, to the pattern of it, or we are literally transformed and we are changing things around us because we're the light and the salt that we're supposed to be. And you have to answer the question, which one are you? You are one of those. I surrender. We sing the song, I Surrender All. I joke about it. I sing the 21st century version. I don't sing I Surrender All. I sing I Surrender Some. I surrender lots. I surrender more than you. I surrender most. But the words are literally, I surrender all. That's old fashioned. Because there are some things we've determined, I'm not going to do it. Then you will not be transformed. He says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are you going to renew your mind? Well, everybody's going to tell you it's what you don't do. I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't date girls that do. And my mind will be renewed. No, that's not going to work. No, it's what you do. Here it is. God's word, prayer, and Christian fellowship. That's how your mind is going to be renewed. That's how it's going to be renewed. God's word, prayer, and Christian fellowship. Now, I'm going to say this, and please don't misunderstand what I mean. If you are reading your Bible to find tips on child raising, you will not be transformed. Did you hear that? If you are reading your Bible and tips on how to have a better marriage, then you will not be transformed. If you're looking for tips on better interpersonal relationships, tips on how to be much more wise, although that information is there for you to use for God's glory, and He wants you to do those things, you're barking up the wrong tree, metaphorically speaking, of course. There will be no metamorphosis. Some of you read your Bibles a lot, and you know them well. And you read, and we read, and we read, and we're real readers of it. We study the Word and read the Word in order to know our Lord God, in order to grow closer to Jesus. That's why we've got it. John 5:38. Search the Scriptures, Jesus says, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. It's Psalm 40 that says, verse 7, Psalm 40, verse 7. Then said I, lo, this is the Messiah, prophecy of Messiah speaking, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, the law is within my heart. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. From the beginning of God's word to the end, it's going to point you to Jesus Christ. We want to be changed into the image of God. Metamorphosis. Metamorpho-o. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, God's word. And also prayer. Calling upon God. Communion with God. Conversation with God. Listening to the Lord. Crying out to the Lord and listening. Taking time to sit and be still. All alone somewhere, anywhere. And listening to God and crying out to God. Prayer. God's word, we neglect it. Prayer, we neglect it. But the last one we do neglect also. Christian fellowship. That is also going to be a part of how you'll be transformed. Christian fellowship. Could you get to church just a little bit early and put up with the hassle of the crowds and go back there and meet somebody that you don't know and say, how is God? How are you doing? Is there anything I can pray for you? How's it going in your life? Tell me, as you were reading your Bible this morning, what was God saying to you? How are you doing? How's it going? How was your day yesterday? What did you guys do? Was it a good day for you? What's up? You're fellowshipping. You're starting to talk about the things of the Lord. You're trying to minister, or you're starting to minister to one another. Or even when the service is over, you don't have to scramble and run like somebody's out there to steal your car. Leave it for a second. Just 1 second. And stop and see how somebody else might be doing. Become a Mary and sit at the feet of the Lord and talk to one another. Christian fellowship, God's word, and prayer. And he says, don't be conformed, shaped or fashioned to the world's pattern, but be transformed. A metamorphosis, a change, a total change from the inside out. By the renewing of your mind, God's word, prayer, and Christian fellowship, that you may prove. Prove means test or examine to see. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Good, acceptable, and perfect. Notice, these are not three kinds of God's will, like is being taught. I think the NIV version even alludes to that it might be three types of God's will. That is not so. That is not true. That is misrepresenting what's written here. So people say, well, I want God's will, and I want God's good will, but I really am seeking God's perfect will. Well, here's God. God will let you do this, but it may not be God's perfect will for you. No. That's not what the Bible teaches. These are not three kinds of God's will, but they are actually what God's will is. See it? Read it. That you may test or examine to see what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's good, it's acceptable, it is perfect or mature or complete. That is what God's will is. God's will is good in your life. Acceptable means pleasing, well-pleasing. Remember, we are to be well-pleasing God, which is a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, well-pleasing to God. He says, I beg you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, your logical, your spiritual worship, your service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will is good, my will is not. Thy will be done, not my will be done. As we worship just a moment here before we close, have you done this? And if you have you done it today? Have you said, Lord, take my life, all of me. I surrender all. Even what was not surrendered yesterday. Even what I got up this morning, not even thinking about wanting to give to you, I give to you all. That I might test and examine to know your will. Because I know that's what's good for my life and good for your glory. Let's bow our heads together.